Tonight we're going to have a devotion on memory verse, Ephesians 4:17 for the month. And if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians 4, that is where we will be for the next 10-15 minutes. Tonight, I want to take a quick look at the context of Ephesians 4:17, and where we find it in Ephesians 4, and break down as a review the layout or the outline of Ephesians to help us put the Ephesians 4:17 in context, and hopefully it will make more sense as we look at this verse. So as we look at the context of Ephesians 4:17, we need to look at the fact that in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul lets us know the riches that we have as believers in Christ. And Ephesians chapters 4 through 6 shows us the way these riches should be used in our everyday life. We learned from last month, from the last couple months from Jerry and Mike, that the riches we have in Christ, and that we are encouraged to, in light of those riches, and by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:1, where he states, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called." And Mike talked about the, as we go, to walk worthy of the calling, we were told to walk, to do that in verse 3, Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So that was last month's devotion. Now this month, we're going to look at what we're not to do. In order to walk worthy of our calling, we have in verse 17 what we're not to do. And the short answer is, if you've been looking, is no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Another thing I noticed about this, what was pointed out in my study, was the first part of chapter 4, specifically 1 through 16, is the believer's relationship to the church. And that's what is discussed. And then verse 17 is the believer's relationship to the world that is set up for us. So just to highlight some things in verse, specifically in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, to get us an idea what how this is highlighted for us in verse 17. Starting in verse 11, "And he gave some to be apostles and prophets, some prophets and evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of the Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man," or a mature man, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Again, this is all the design of the church, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotness, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working for which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of Christ. So as the believer in the relationship to the church, this is what is wanted. So in verse 17, we're going to change, and how does our relationship with the world, how with walking worthy, how does that change our relationship with the world? So, Ephesians 4:17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." This is our relationship. This is what our relationship to the world should be, in light of these truths and riches we have in Christ that's been talked about in Ephesians 1 through 3. This change, as we can see, is highlighted from verse 16 to verse 17. The Apostle Paul stops and says, "This I say and testify in the Lord." This word, therefore, points us back to Ephesians 4:1. It points us back to the exhortation or the encouragement that started in verse 1. The word "say" here means to talk with a focus upon the content of what is being said. Let's focus in on what I'm about to say here, is what he's saying. And then we have this word, not only is he saying something, he's going to testify. To testify means to insist or to urge. So the Apostle Paul is stopping here and saying, "Listen to me, focus on what I'm about to say here, and I insist and I urge you in what I'm about to say here." Another definition of testify, which I thought applies in this case, is to make a serious declaration on the basis of presumed personal knowledge. Now, the phrase "in the Lord," I was piqued my interest for a little bit here, but of all the research I did on that, there wasn't enough for me to come up with a definitive what does that phrase mean. So I can tell you what some expositors said, but I'm not going to be comfortable enough to define what that actually means right now in light of this. I wasn't able to get that deep into it in that particular phrase. So what is Paul going to say, and what is Paul urging or insisting? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Should walk, or walk, the word walk, throughout this chapter and book is a behavior or the way to conduct your life. The way you conduct your life or the way you behave. This word translated Gentiles is the Greek word ethos. It can also be translated as nations or people. Believers, as believers in Christ, in light of the riches of that we learned about in Ephesians 1 through 3, should continually live their lives and conduct their lives differently than the rest of the people around them. It doesn't matter which nation or group of people or race, ethos can be translated on. As a believer, within any of those situations, there should be a difference than the rest of those people, nations, Gentiles, or race around you. One thing I want to point out here really quickly is should no longer walk. I noticed that Paul does not say that you will no longer walk. I noticed that so that was one thing that popped out to me, that Paul doesn't say, you know, you have the Holy Spirit in you and therefore you will never walk like the other Gentiles. We all know, even from the Bible and my personal life, that we can walk just like the rest of the Gentiles walk, depending on if we're our carnality. We know from 1 Corinthians that as a church that they were carnal, and they received from Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. So, and the other observation I made about this, you should no longer walk, would indicate at a point in time they were walking as the rest of the Gentiles. And we can see this in Ephesians 2, verse 1, if you want to turn to that. Turn back a page. The Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesians here. And you, he made alive, who were dead, past, and trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So a couple observations about this: should no longer walk. The last phrase here we see, in the futility of their mind. This word futility means useless or empty. So verse 17 is actually, the whole sentence goes to verse 19. So, this I say therefore, testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, and because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who pass being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So, in conclusion, based on the riches that we have in Christ as believers, plus the design of the local church to meet the needs of believers that live in a world that is diametrically opposed to God and the Bible, we can be encouraged, built up, and helped along to understand what we have in Christ. These feasts can help us to learn to trust Christ not only for our justification, being declared righteous, but for our sanctification, being set apart from the worldly system or the world we live in every day. Paul says and testifies or insists that we should no longer behave or conduct our lives as the rest of the Gentiles behave. Conducting their lives, our behavior should change because of our new home. We are believers, our new home is in heaven, and we have a new purpose in our lives, and that is to glorify God, and should act accordingly. An unbeliever's home is this world, and they act accordingly. The difference, everything in the world is passing away in the lust thereof. And there's different priorities. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. As a child of God, we have different priorities and goals for our lives, to honor and glorify and honor God. And as we live our lives in this mindset, the first things we're going to see is a change in the way we conduct our lives. This change, or the mindset from a worldly temporal view to an eternal heaven view, will also change our conduct or our walk. So it makes sense that the first thing Paul mentions to us personally as each and every believer is, do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, or as the rest of the people, the nation, as they are children of wrath and we are as children of God. Paul later expands upon this, and later in Ephesians, which is outside the scope of this devotion tonight. But as we think about the truths and riches, again, that we have in Ephesians 1-3, we have in Christ with the local church to help us along the way. Our mindset should change, and our walk or our life should change. Personally, this was a very encouraging study for me. A couple months ago, I was kind of driving around work, with just driving around, and as I was thinking about something, it was I remember being a kid growing up at Heritage Trail, and we did stuff. There was this list of things. We don't do this and we don't do that. And then the question eventually came up was, why don't we do this? Why do we do this? Why don't we do that? And as a young, immature believer and a young, immature person, the answer was because of our testimony. We wanted to have a good testimony. We wanted to be different. We didn't do it this way like everybody else does because we wanted to have a testimony that stood out. With the whole idea of our testimony would give us an opportunity to give the gospel to our friends and family. And I thought about that and I go, but that's what, for me, it was, that was all it was you do this because of the testimony. You don't do that because of your testimony. Well, here we see in Ephesians, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk. And why? Because of the riches and the truth that we have in Christ. The reason behind you not walking like the neighbors and everybody else is because of the truth upon Ephesians 1 through chapters 1 through 3. Which it was kind of a little aha moment for me. The little light bulb went on here. How many years? At least 40, 30 plus years later. So it was just an interesting, I had this thought a while back, and then this verse totally answered that thought for me. So, again, new man, new mindset, new way of life. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. And that is all I have. That's great. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this memory verse tonight, and thank you for the fact of the riches and what we have through you in Christ and how it can affect us, not only just to do it because we have to do it, but because of that we can be changed from the inside out, be transformed by the Word of God and not be conformed to this world. And thank you for the truths in Ephesians, specifically the personal applications that we have find here in Ephesians 4. In Jesus' name, amen.